Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good evening. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Thursday, the 10th of October, 2019. We thank God for all those who joined us. All those who have called in is 646-668-2636. We see you there on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation tonight, just press one on your keypad. We can bring you in, ask a question, share some wisdom, your insights. Also, for those on www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we'd like to welcome you also to the program and listening in. You can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page if you have any questions or want to shoot us and reach out to us and contact us. You can inbox us there or leave us a message. If you have a question you want to get answered here on the show and be part of the broadcast and through that medium, we encourage you to do that. Also, so tonight we're going to be talking about overcoming stress. We're going to talk about what it is as a Christian man, about overcoming the stress of our lives. You know, one of the things we have to understand that as Christian men, as men, either believers in Christ or not believers in Christ, we still deal with the things of life that can stress us out, if we allow it, if we allow the stresses to get into our life. But tonight I want to talk about, you know, how, some of the things we can do to combat it, to overcome it, because they're going to come. The things are going to happen in our lives, the things that come at us, they come as the unsaved, like I said again, like the unbeliever and the believer. We still would deal with the same things, issues in life, but yet we deal with those issues differently because of God, because of the death and shed blood of Jesus Christ, and because of the Holy Spirit living within us. So we're going to talk about it today as a word of encouragement for the brothers that are listening, for those out there, and understand that, you know, God has our back. God is in control, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. So as long as that we are obedient to Him, we're going to be able to endure some things. We're going to have patience. We're going to be long-suffering in some things. But yet, we're not going to be moved off our faith. And we're not going to let the things of this world, the things that happen in our lives, overwhelm and overtake us, because we have a confidence in who God is, who we are as His children, and that He is in control of all things. Nothing is a surprise or comes to us and shocks God in His mind, because He knows all things. He's omnipresent and omniscient and all-powerful and all-knowing. Amen? Amen. Let us open with prayer. Father God, we say thank you today. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, God, to live a life, oh God, that's pleasing to you. Father, to live a life that advances your kingdom. God, to be salt and light in this culture, oh God, even in the midst of what's going on, Lord God, we know that you are in control, and we say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, God, for those who are listening online, those that are listening on the called in tonight, those that are listening to this program in the rebroadcast, God, I pray for them also. Father, I ask you to continue to watch over us, strengthen your body, oh God. Strengthen your church, oh God. Father, we ask today that you would stir up the spirit. Stir up the spirit in individuals, in your children, God, that your church, God, would be a light, that would be salt and light to this dark and dying world. Father, today we pray for those who are sick and shut in hospital rooms, God. We're praying for prisoners behind bars, Lord God, that their souls and their minds would be set free. We're praying, God, for families today. We're praying for husbands, wives, God. We're praying for children, God, grandchildren. We're praying for those, oh God, who don't know you, God. We're praying for the lost today, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord God, that today you would send someone, and one of your ambassadors, your ministry angel, or draw them in by the Spirit of God to understand who you are. Father, we thank you for your word, because it gives us direction and guidance. It is a blueprint for our life. Father, we, again, just say thank you for being God, because there's no other, oh God. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, for the remission of our sins by his shed blood. So we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and we give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Amen. Well, first, let me begin tonight. We have some upcoming events here in the local Baltimore, D.C. area. November the 2nd, Saturday, November the 2nd at 9:30 a.m., the Men of Jesus Lives Ministry Men's Group is gathering at the Golden Corral Buffet and Grill in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And that's on November the 2nd at 9:30 a.m. We're coming together for breakfast and fellowship and connection, and just spend some time with each other on a Saturday morning, a nice fall Saturday morning. We just wanted to come together before the holiday season kicks in. A lot of things going on. The kids are in school, settled in. We're settling to our fall and winter habits. So we just wanted to bring the brothers together on a Saturday morning for some fellowship and reconnect. Amen. So, again, that's going to be on Saturday, November the 2nd at 9:30 a.m. at the Golden Corral Buffet and Grill in Glen Burnie, Maryland. You can also go on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see the address, the link there, information. You want to share it. I'm going to invite you to come out. And for my brothers, a part of Jesus Lives, bring one man with you. That's the goal, to bring one man with you. You know, bring one man, invite one man out. I mean, even if you need to, pay for a brother. Bring a brother and treat him out to breakfast. Amen? Amen. Also, we want to put this out there for save the date. April 17th, 18th, and 19th, 2020. We are putting in the works today and planning for a men's retreat at the Black Rock Retreat Center up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's on April 17th, 18th, and 19th, a men's retreat. We'll have more details of that as the brothers come together and plan out the details, but I just want you to save that date, put it in your phone, on your calendar, and your tablet, on your Google calendar, whatever it is. You know, put it in there, save those dates. If you need to take off on Friday, spend the weekend with us, and invite someone. I can tell you right now, it's going to be affordable. But we're going to start right around December to January for deposits and registration. But just save the date, April 17th, 18th, and 19th, men's retreat, the Jesus Lives Fellowship and Ministry Men's Group. Amen? Amen. Well, today, before we get started, I want to share some information with you. It was something that I was looking up, you know, on the family on the internet, and it was talking about salvation in families and some percentages. And I just wanted to share this real quick because I want to encourage your brothers out there. Husbands and fathers, we have a great responsibility to lead our families in the spiritual growth, development, and even evangelism of our families, of our children. You know, being the pastor, the leader in the home, we have a great responsibility. And some of these facts, percentages I've found, is something I wanted to really share with folks. It says 3.5% of families get saved if the child is saved first. You know, we have ministries who pick up the youth, pick up the kids in the neighborhood, take them to church. You know, they pick them up on the weekends or the summer. They take them to Bible study, to bring the children's church. And, you know, in the communities, and they invite the kids to the church, and through the kids, they reach the families. The parents will come, and they get to hear the gospel, and the gospel takes effect in there. So 3% of those families come to Christ and get saved if the child gets saved first. 17% of families saved if the wife is saved. We all know about our wives, wives going to church, taking the children to church, being a part of ministry, serving in ministry, you know, being a regular member, you know, because right now, if we look around, if we're honest with ourselves as pastors and leaders and elders, if we look around, we see how many, what do I want to call them, Christian widows we have, women who faithfully come to service, participate, are in Bible study, but you never see their husbands for whatever reason. Their husbands just are not there. But even in the midst of that, the wives have an impact and influence over the rest of the family. It says 17% of families get saved if the wife is saved first. And I say that because I know my wife first went to church, first got salvation, and it took root, you know, because as kids growing up, we went to church, whatever. We went to church and here, there, hit and miss. And until, you know, you give your life to Christ and start to live the word, apply the word, study the word for ourselves, know what the Bible says, know what scripture is, know the gospel, and understand who God is and who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. This is the kind of salvation we're talking about. It's a little bit more than some of us think because we walked down an aisle and shook our hand and said a prayer one time. Our salvation is secure. That's a whole other show. But are you living this life of a disciple? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? And are you applying the word of God to your life, every area of your life? Or are you just a show up, do my 2 hours on Sunday Christian? Okay, but anyway, I digress. But 70% of families get saved, the wife gets saved first. And the big number here that we have here that gives confirmation of what we do at Ish Christian Talk and the importance of men's ministry. 93% of families get saved if the husband is saved first. So men, as our salvation, it radiates through our families. Our salvation, our leadership, our godly leadership, as we come under submission of the word of God, under submission of Christ, and he becomes Lord of our lives, and we start living lives as men of God, as fathers of God, husbands of God, our family is affected by that. We set the temperature in our homes, and through that, 90% of families are saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and become Christians and believers. So those numbers right there tells us a lot in the importance of men and the way God set us up as to be leaders in the home and guide and direct. So this is why we have Ish Christian Talk, and this is why I always say it's important to have men's ministries in our churches, where time where men come together and grow about other men. We talk about iron sharpens iron to the point where it's a cliche, but true iron sharpens iron, and it takes a lot to sharpen iron. A dull piece of iron, for anybody who ever knows or know what it takes, to take a dull piece of iron and make a sword out of it, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of sweat, it's a lot of fire, it's a lot of noise, it's a lot of pounding away and shaping and molding. And that's what we have to do, let the word of God and the Holy Spirit do in the lives and hearts of men. Amen? Amen. So tonight, I'm going to touch on a couple things here. Again, we're talking tonight about overcoming stress. Overcoming stress. Overcoming stress. And that's important because we all deal with stress in different ways. We have different, you know, different ways of dealing with stress. We have different things that stress us out because, again, as men, we have to deal with a lot. If we're leading in our homes, we're leading in the church, we're leading in our jobs, the responsibilities we have, the responsibility of just being a husband and father is great. But even as being just men in this culture, there's a lot of stress of being a man. Are we living up our full potential? You know, are we getting caught? We have to be able to deal with a lot of things just being a man. And then when we add family and other responsibilities, financial, emotional, physical, we can get stressed out and we can worry about a lot of things, and that can affect our health. You know, heart attacks and breakdowns and depression, these are some of the side effects, some of the things that happen to us as men because of the stress we have to deal with a lot. But today I want to talk about how do we overcome that thing. What are we going to do? I just want to give a couple of points of strategies. Sometimes we need strategies. We need strategies on how we're going to deal with a problem. First, we have to identify the problem and understand what it says and who we are and how we're really going to deal with it. I want to go to scripture real quick for the brothers out there. I want to go to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start at verse 29. And the word of God says, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And I think that's important for all of us to understand, even as men of God, women of God. You know, we have to understand that God has created us and given us strength to endure some things and the struggles. So even in the stressful lives we live, when the things don't go right, when our finances are funny, our money is funny, our spouses, our kids, all these stresses that come upon us, we can deal with them through the Word of God and through having a strategy. But the worst thing we can do is let the stresses push us to a state of mental stress where we have mental nervous breakdowns. We deal with a lot of issues and things. And I say a lot to some brothers and men and even some women I know. And, you know, it's don't take it to heart, the things that happen around us, because these things are going to happen. But because we are Christians and believe in a God who's in control, there's a reason why things happen. But then again, there's a reason why we're there as Christian people to speak life into some things, to bring peace to the chaos, to bring order to the chaos in people's lives. But we have to be rooted and grounded and understand that this thing is not, you know, we can't take it personal where it's going to break us down. It's going to destroy our health, our mental condition, and we're going to be all stressed out. We're going to have headaches and high blood pressure and sickness in our bodies because of things that are happening and what things that people are doing. So we have to always be able to lean back on God and know that God is in control, because everybody gets tested. You know, even in the midst of, we have to understand that God, you know, even for the unbeliever, every man, every woman, every person has a choice. And sometimes the choices that people make in their lives, we cannot let that stress us out. Because these are the choices. You know, something I learned a long time ago, a pastor told me, you know, he would tell people, you know, if you like your life, I love your life, because it's your life and it's choices. And I say in my own testimony, comes a time in your life where if you want to do different, you want to be different, you want to have a different thing, you got to start making some different choices. You can't do the exact same thing over, over, over again and expect something to change. And the same thing with people. If they keep doing the same thing over and over again, they like it, they enjoy it, and there's consequences for it. But we, even us as individuals, we can't take their bad choices onto ourselves and be stressed out about it. And that's where we have to learn to separate. We can pray for them. We can be their supporter for them, because it's just like I talked about this before. It's like addiction. People who are trying to fight addictions, coming off of drugs, heroin, alcohol, whatever their addiction is, they struggle. They're going to relapse. They're going to slip back into their old habits. But all we can do, sometimes we have to stand on the outside and really pray. And as Christians, prayer works, because sometimes people have to get to a place where they're sick and tired. They feel broken. They're lost, and they don't know what to do. And that's where God can use them. God can speak to them. And again, and I want to say this because it's something I learned my own self. Sometimes when we step back, when people are ready, they'll come to us for help because they see that we're different, you know, and we have to be very careful, even in the midst of their going through, not to get caught up in our emotions and be trying to shout people out and argue and fuss with people about they're doing wrong. You know, they're doing what they're doing because that's what they do. But we can't let the actions of others move our emotions, move our hearts and our minds to the place where we're so stressed out that we can't function. We get into deep depression. We're more concerned about their well-being and they love what they're doing. But we're so stressed out because we see the things that they're doing is messing them up, or we want them to do better. We have to be careful about that. So when we talk about stress today, I want to talk about overcoming it. And that's just one of the aspects, because we all have families, we have children, we have siblings, we have parents, even in spouses, whatever. You know, we have to find some peace with God, and we have to have a strategy to do it. So one of the things I want to talk about tonight is a couple of strategies on to deal with stress. Because again, it's not special. It's not that, again, we have to understand everyone goes through some sort of stress. No matter how it looks on the outside or how things may look like they have everything going well for them and their life is so much better than ours. But that's not true. Everyone goes through stress. It's just some people have different levels of stress. It's one of the things I learned a long time ago. You know, a pastor said, you know, the same stuff that you've been through, you and I've been through, could kill somebody else. You know, but we made it through because of who we are and how we built. God knows exactly us as individuals, who we are, how much we can take, and what it took for us to come to the knowledge of Him. And sometimes other folk, they have to figure that out for themselves. So we have to be careful not to say, well, you know, when I was doing that, and then I stopped, and then when, you know, I did better. But just remember, how many years did it really take you to get to the point where you stopped doing the things that were hurtful and harmful to you and the people around you? You were stressing them out by your bad behavior. So this is the things we have to keep our heart and minds open about. You know, remember where we all came from. No matter where you are in Christ, from the bishop, pastor, elder, deacon, whatever, or to the person who just got saved last week, 6 months ago, you know, we all came from somewhere, and it was a process that God used in our disobedience to get us to where we are now. So, again, the first thing I want to say about overcoming stress is to pray and give it to God. Amen? We have to stay in prayer. We have to understand that God is control. I want to go to, real quick, Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And I'm going to jump down to verse number 28, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. And God, Word of God says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For your yoke fits perfectly, and the burdens I give you are light. We just have to understand. Give it to God. You know, you hear that as a cliche, but it's true. Give it over to God. The things that are stressing you out, it could be people, it could be circumstances, give it to God. You know, we talk about finances and bills and rent and electric bills, water bills, whatever your finances are. You know, sometimes you just have to step back, give it to God, because when you give it to God and you pray, God's going to give you wisdom on how to handle your finances. That's the other thing. But that's where it comes back to being obedient to what the Bible teaches about finances and using the wisdom of others around you to get out of financial debt, to get out of finance. Because, again, you know, we are financial. If everyone would be honest with themselves and every brother out there, every husband out there, think about it. Why you might be struggling with finances? Because you got a lot of junk and stuff you don't need and you keep on buying. You know, I was looking at it the other day. They got an iPhone come out every 6 months, and these phones now are $1,000. But people get them, add them to their bill, and they tell them it's only another $30 a month. But you know, you're paying $30 a month for the next 5 years for a $1,000 phone. What can you do with $1,000 that's going to last longer than the phone? Because the next one come out, you want to buy that too. But that's just me. But even in that, what are we stressing out about in our finances? Okay, and again, it goes back to our physical needs. Even if we have health issues, pray for the healing of God in our health issues. Seek wisdom. There's a lot of things we can do, you know, as men, and we have high blood pressure, diabetes. Some of the stuff is, again, we have to change our habits and what we're doing so God can heal us. You can't have diabetes and keep on eating sugar, ice cream, cake, doing what you want to do, sitting down, watching TV for 15 hours a day, and not doing any kind of exercise or anything, and then just pray that God will heal you. No. You know, because I'll just leave it right there. But again, these are the things we talk about that, again, are we giving it over to God? And are we overcoming these stress? How are we going to handle it? How are we going to change our life to relieve some of the stress and pressure? Because you'd be surprised. You know, I've been through it myself. You start to do some things different. And just imagine when you lose that first 5 pounds, if your thing is weight, you lose those first 5 or 10 pounds. How do you feel about that? That can just encourage you to move on. It's the same thing with other things in our life. If we start to trust God, change what we're doing, and we start to see a change, then that'll motivate us. But we can't just get stressed out and stay in that place and get depressed, you know, and get all bound up. So we have to give it over to God, believe that God is, and give it to Christ. And let God say, God, I need help with this. And God will send people and circumstances and wisdom into your life to help you get to those things, the desires of your heart. Amen? Amen. So one of the things we're going to talk about in stress is, first of all, we have to admit, Every one of us has to look in the mirror and admit that we're dealing with stress. We're stressed out about this. We're stressed out about kids, money. We're stressed out in our jobs. You know, we're going to get fired. We got a job we don't like. We got coworkers we don't like. For my young people, stressing out in school, high school, college, whatever. For the brothers out there, you know, there's a lot of things that can stress us, but we have to understand, we have to identify and say, you know, this thing is stressing me out. How am I going to deal with it? Because our life is packed with so many things, and it seems like we're trying to deal with everything, but we never really finish anything. So now we're dealing with stress. We get stomach issues. We get ulcers. We get our blood pressure goes up. And then we forget things we're supposed to be doing because we're trying to keep all this in our head and in our minds. We short-tempered. You know, we snapping at people around us, snapping at our loved ones, our spouses, our kids, our friends, our church family, our pastors. You know, because when people see you stressed and then they come and try and engage you, you snap at them because of the stress. That's how stress, it manifests and starts to show around you. And then you become the nasty, grumpy, angry, whatever, brother, sister, mother, father, whatever, because of the stress. And it starts to come in outward things. So we have to be in a place where we're at peace and show that peace no matter what's going on. Because, again, people are watching us. People are seeing us, especially as Christians, and we confess it. You know, like just like my job. So I'm going to be having the job. Everybody's growing crazy, and you got peace about it because you know that God is in control of your life. God is in control of your job. He's in control of the circumstances of your job. I've been laid off. I've been fired. But you don't stress about it because you know God is going to provide. And that's the way we talk about the finances. God's going to provide what you need, not necessarily what you want, because you have to get to a point where you're going to start dropping some stuff because you got a bunch of stuff and junk that you're worrying about and you got bills. You know, I put it this way, you know, what's the one? Cable, your cable bill. Look at your cable bill. Do you need all that? Do you need Showtime, Stars, HBO? Do you need all that? Or can you work with basic cable? Because even now, the way that everything's going, you just need internet and you get a bunch of free apps. And you can cut your cable bill in half or just get plain internet. But, you know, that's just something temporal. But again, we have to admit that we're in stress and that we're dealing with a lot of things and then start to reach out and control it and see how it's affecting us, especially with our health issues and how we treat others. Because that's the first sign of stress, how we snap and yell and scream at others and engage and argue. We're arguing over stuff we don't know we're arguing about because it's the stress that's coming pouring out of us. Amen? So one of our strategies to overcome stress that I want to share with the brothers right now is make a list. Write some stuff down. Get some notebook paper, get some other paper, get some toilet paper. Write down a list of everything that you're involved with, the things that's taking up your time, the things that you have to do week, the activities, what's going on in your life, what are you doing in your life, what do you want to accomplish in your life. Sometimes we have to take and write down and see what we're doing in our life that's stressing us out, you know, and then start to look at that list. And because there's only 24 hours in a day, and hopefully, I think I'll pray to God that you're getting at least 6 or 8 hours of sleep. So that leaves, let me do the math real quick, that leaves 18 hours. So sometimes we have to shorten the list of the things that we're doing in our lives. What is in our life that's stressing us out? Or what is in our life that's pushing us to the limit where we're so stressed and worried and concerned about every little thing, you know, and it starts to build up on us. Well, how much time are we spending with God in prayer? How much time are we spending in His Word and understanding and learning His Word? And especially prayer, because prayer is our first weapon against that, because we need to speak to God and tell God, because God knows. You say, God, just help me, give me an answer. Sometimes the best and longest prayer is, God, help me, and then just wait. God, help me, amen, and then wait. So with a sincere heart. Amen. So let's make a list sometimes. What are we doing in hours? What are we doing? What's going on with us around? What's going on in our homes? How much time are we spending with friends? How much time are we spending with people of God? How much time are we spending with people that we enjoy being around? Even our stress is we always around people who stressing us out. How much time we need to spend away from them? These are the things, you know, we people stress us out, things happen, but that's the only people we're around. We don't go around the people we can enjoy being around and be at peace where we have peace. Sometimes peace can heal you can re-energize over some peace to deal with stress. But how much time are we really spending around people where we can enjoy and be at peace with, or we're always around the people in situations that stress us out? So make a list of what we're doing. How do you spend your day? How do you spend your weeks? What is your vision? What is your plan for your life? What is your plan for yourself? And then even now in the midst of that, it goes also, when I just talked about that, take that list to someone you trust. Start to build relationships. It could be your pastor. It could be adult mentor, a mature Christian friend. You know, for young people, your parents, if you have a parent, you got a favorite auntie, favorite uncle, someone who's stable in your life, and share with them and then try to build and do different. Have someone help you, because, again, I always say this, you know, our Christian walk, we're not meant to walk alone as long range of Christians. That's what the church is about. The church is not the building. The church is the people who believe in Jesus Christ and believe God and believe his word. And then we come together to support each other in the growth and the fellowship and make friends and make relationships, these natural relationships one to another. That's what the church is. Don't get caught up with the church being in the building. You know, it's the church is other believers who are like-minded. So even when you make your list, who's in your life right now? If you made this list of stressful things or things that you're dealing with, who's the person that you can trust, you can share it with, that they can pray with you, you can discuss it with, help you work through the list to try and change some things in your life to remove the stresses? If it's finances, you know, someone who can help you with your money. If it's physical, someone that can help you, you know, start working out, go to the gym, take a long walk. I don't know. But if you're stressing, all the things we get stressed with, you know, and it's our children. I mean, are we spending our time, if our children are stressing us out, are we spending some time with some adults, you know? If our spouses, that's a whole other thing that, to me, that we have to work that through, because the marriage and the home should be a place of peace. If there's stress in a marriage between a husband and wife, we have to get counseling. We have to do something. Do something to change the circumstances. Don't just endure it. Do you want better? And that's the thing we all have to look at for ourselves and looking in the mirror as men, as husbands, and wives, and mothers. We have to look in the mirror and say, do we want something different, and how are we going to get there? So that's part of just make that list that you made and then have someone you trust and share it with them to start to see where you can change the move. Sometimes we have to prioritize our lives. We do a lot of things in our life that don't need to get done. You know, some people stress out because they think they're the only ones who can do this and no one else can do it. They don't want to let nobody else do it. They think they got to do everything for everybody. They're the super savior. They're the super, super duper dad, super duper mom. They got to do it. If they don't do it, it don't get done. That can be stressful. Because let me say it, I say this sometimes to people and they think I'm hardcore, but you got to remember, you know, if you pass away, people are going to mourn for you, but then their lives will continue. And yet you stressed out, got yourself all worked up, had a heart attack, nervous breakdown, high blood pressure, put yourself in the hospital, and they're going to keep doing the things they're doing with their lives. We have to remember that. So I'm not going to die trying to get somebody else to get their life together. And then if I go, they're going to live that same life for another 30 years and I'm dead because I tried to stress out over their circumstance. Or I stressed myself out till I was so sick, I couldn't even take care of myself. Amen? Because again, we have to sometimes be selfish on some things. I'm going to get to that soon here. But even as Christians, because, you know, we have to serve God first. We have to prioritize the things of God in our life and what God wants for us and our purpose and our plan. Because also, these things that we stress about can pull us off of why God saved us, why God created us, and why God gave a purpose. He gave every man a purpose. There's a purpose that God created you. There's a purpose you were born. You know, and we have to be able to understand once we come into salvation as Christians, now there's a purpose and a plan that God can use us again for his church. The church is the church is the people and who we are when we come together, that we can do more together than we can do separately. It's not made to be a long ranger. If you read in scripture, the church was built in the book of Acts. You know, they did a lot of things when they came together. You know, the church, because when people came in the book, if you read the book of Acts, You see, when the church people professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and became Christians, their life changed. And people cut them off. Family members cut them off. They've lost jobs. They lost careers. Here in America, in this Western culture, sometimes people become a Christian and people go, okay, he got religion, so what? Nothing really changed. You don't lose your job. You don't have an income. They don't kick you out your house. You're just a Christian now. You know, some people will sit around and wait for you to come on back and get it together. You ain't gonna like church. And then people always tell you, well, yeah, I tried church. I don't like church and church people, this and that and the other thing, to try and discourage you in your faith and not grow in it. Because the people who say that I know that people say that, they did not grow. They didn't do anything to increase their knowledge. They didn't have faith in God. And then they didn't increase in their understanding of who God was because they never read their Bible, didn't go to church, didn't study, didn't go to Bible study, didn't hang around Christians to help them grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian because they didn't do it. This is why people go in and out. But I digress. I don't want to do that right now. But I want to talk to the believers who are in now that you're dealing with stress and how you can overcome it and that God has a plan for your life. Real quick, I'm going to go to a scripture. I'm going to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and goodness. Again, it's through the power of God that our lives are going to be changed, that the stress is going to be lifted off of us because we're going to give it to God. We're going to follow God's word. And it's by that power of the Holy Spirit living within us that's going to keep us, even in the midst of what goes on. Again, if we look at Scripture and we read Scripture and understand, the church was persecuted. They were killed for just being Christian. They were persecuted. We look at Paul. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was shipwrecked. A lot of things happened to him because of Christ. Peter suffered because of Christ. So they all suffered because of Christ, because of their faith in Christ. But with his divine power, he was given everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. So we know who Christ is, why Christ died, and what Christ has done for us, and what's living inside us through the Holy Spirit. We can endure some things and overcome the stresses of this life. Remember, our goal here as Christians is not to get a bunch of stuff, like some people, like preachers try to say. It's not about getting a bunch of stuff here on earth. It's about an eternal life, that our life, we're going to live forever. Where are we going to spend eternity and forever? In the presence of God. And that's what our focus is, our future is. Amen? Amen. So far we talked about three things. You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Fox. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., or Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, quick commercial insert for my regular listeners. We're going to be live on Saturday morning, and we're going to be simulcasting, or we're going to be broadcasting, doing a show with Apostle Etta Banks on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, Heart to Heart. So you can call in the Heart to Heart, or you can call in Issues Christian Men's Talk. You're going to hear the same show, and we're going to be talking about some things there this Saturday morning. We're going to be working together. Well, we're going to be broadcasting together on the same show because Apostle is going to be out of town at a conference. But I'm going to be there as our guest host, and we're going to talk about some things there. So I'm going to encourage all those who listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk to join in and listen to Heart, or you can listen to us because we're requesting simultaneously. So let your friends and family know. They can call in the Heart, or call in to Issues Christian Men's Talk on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And for the brothers out there, I'm going to take some calls. There's going to be some women on the line because Heart to Heart, she does that. Her audience, she has a lot of women on her audience. So be prepared to hear some women speak up and call in. And as always, same rules apply. If you called in, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you to the conversation. We see you here on the switchboard, and we can bring you in. You have a question or want to make a statement, we welcome you. Amen? Amen. So now, as we have a list now, we made a list, we have someone we trust. Now you rework that list, and we prioritize. We prioritize our list from the most important to the least. We determine what needs to be cut out of our lives. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to understand. Some things that we stress about, we need to cut these people and things out of our lives. Sometimes we just have to cut them out. We have to understand that everybody is not made to be around us as Christians, as believers, so we struggle with it. But then we just have to pray to God and beg God the wisdom, because we actually don't have to physically do something. If we start to live a life obedient to God, people start dropping out. I've found that. You usually don't have to cut people off. People start dropping out of your life as God puts more people back in your, brings people into your life. And that's the importance of being part of a church, part of a community of believers, that some people will start to drop out of your life because of the life you're living. If you start to change your habits and how you live and what you're doing, that's also where people will start, people start dropping out of your life that way also. So, you know, if the more you draw into God, people will drop away. So you have to start prioritizing people, determining what's important, who's going to come out your life. And then what things are you involved with that needs to be, that's stressing you out? You know, we have to look at, what are we involved with that's stressing us? Are we taking our responsibilities in that hours? Are we doing things that we don't need to be involved with or doing that's bringing extra stress in our life? So we have to evaluate all parts of our life. And we do that through prayer. We do that with having someone in our life that we trust, a mature person, to help us work this through, because we all need help and companionship and fellowship. Amen? The next one we're going to talk about is sometimes, even as Christians, as parents, we have to practice on how to say no. Simply saying yes to everything will get us in a lot of trouble. You got to learn to say no. If you want to cut down the stress, you need to keep yourself from being overcommitted. You can't say yes to everything. You can't be everywhere and everything to everybody. That's some of the stress we carry too. I touched on that earlier. If we don't do it, we don't think it'll get done or won't get done right, because we won't turn things over. And this one stress, this is one thing I want to talk about with couples, as husbands right now, or even wives that may be listening. Let your spouse do the thing the way they do it. Stop trying to have them stressing yourself out because they're not doing it the way you would do it. That's a piece of wisdom right there. I'll let that soak in. If whatever, it could be all the way from washing the dishes to cleaning the bathroom to whatever. If you turn it over to someone, they're going to do it their way, and then you have to not stress out over it, and that's the way they do it. And even if you want to help them, you have to know how to talk to people to try and get them to do a different way or show them a different way. But if you're stressed out, but the worst thing, you know, you have to learn, you ask somebody to do something, they do it their way, and it's different from your way, then you go behind them and do it your way. How do you think that makes somebody feel? How it makes that feel, make you feel, if you did something and someone came behind you and got the same thing done, but it just wasn't good enough? That's what you're telling people. And for spouses and wives, this is what you're dealing with. When you tell ask your spouse to do something, they don't do it your way, you go behind them and redo it. You just told them they have no value. Amen? I'll leave that right there. I'll leave that right there. And also, again, we have to be important, again, as people of God, as Christian people, how are we spending our time? As Christian men, evaluate yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. Are you part of the corporate or the cultural rat race? Are you, you know, what are you doing? What is your purpose? Who are you? Take time, try and relieve some of the stress, figure out who you are, who God's called you to be, and then surrender yourself. Come under submission of God, under the submission of the Holy Spirit, and the submission of the Word. And that can be a lot of stress lifted off you. You know, and we have to learn how to manage our time, manage our lives, okay? Don't let life live you. You live your life. You should control your life. You should have a vision for your life. I'll give you an example. Tomorrow morning, what's your plan for tomorrow? What's your plan for this weekend? What's your plan for next week? What's your plan for next month? What are you set in place that, you know, we all have obligations and commitments, I understand. But then, what are you doing with your free time? Have you put plans in there to spend time with your family? Husbands, have you spent time in the next week, 2 weeks to spend alone quality time with your wife? And dating. And let me say this about dating and couples. Dating is not going to the movies and sitting in the dark for 3 hours. That doesn't enhance a relationship. I mean, eating is fine, but if you go out and eat, are you having conversations about the things that you're dealing with? Are you having conversations? Who do you spend some time with? For my single brothers out there and my singles, who are you going out and spending time and having adult conversation with? It's important. It's important. Who are you spending time with? What are you doing to relieve the stress in your life? Do you have a peace plan? Oh, you have a peace plan. I need to get my peace. I need to keep my peace. No matter what goes on, that I am at peace. And that was the strategy for it. We need to make a plan. Again, I just wanted to share that, what is your plan? What's the plan for tomorrow? What's your plan for next week? This is about making a vision for our lives and what do we want to do and accomplish. Because we can only control, as men, as husbands, mothers, wives, we control ourselves. As family plans come together, this is where husband and wife come together and set the vision and tone for the home. For those of us who are not, don't have spouses, what is our plan for our lives as a Christian? What do we want to do? Do we want to do things in the ministry? Do we want to volunteer in the church? Do we have a plan for our life, or are we just letting life come at us and then we're fighting, we're defending stuff, or we're responding? That's the word I want to use. Are we keep responding, but other things that people do, or do we have a plan and a vision that we're moving forward in spite of what other people do? So that's where we can relieve a lot of our stress, that we start to control our lives, take our lives back, and start to, again, go through some things. Amen? Well, let me review real quick some of the things I've gave and examples of overcoming stress tonight that I want to encourage those out there listening. First one was admit that you are stressed out. Admitting it. It's like anything else in our life. First thing to be able to deal with is to admit it. The next thing is write it down. Write down what's going on in your life. Write down the things that are stressing you out, the people, the places, the such situations. If it's finances, if it's health issues, if it's emotional issues, if you need help, write a list, write it down, try and figure out how many things in your life that is stressing you out. What is the thing that's really stressing you out? It could be people, it could be circumstances, it could be for jobs, it could be school, it could be friends, it could be a lot of things. And you have to identify these things. So now, even in the midst of that, once you identify the stresses, then you get together and you build a relationship with people and someone you can trust, and you help work through the list. It could be a pastor, a youth pastor, a adult mentor, a mature Christian friend. And, for young people, your parents, your aunties, someone that's mature and stable. Okay? Be careful. Don't get no crazy family member, you know what I'm saying? But someone who's stable and shows some sign of maturity and work through our issues and our things to be able to relieve some of the stress on us and how to deal with it. Because there's always an answer. And for us as Christians, the Word of God has an answer for every circumstance and situation in your life. I don't care what it is. There's an answer in the Word of God. And are you willing to be obedient to what the Word of God says? And you'd be surprised how the stress will drop off your life. Now, as you go through that list, you prioritize that list. What's important? What things and people and habits and circumstances you need to cut out your life? What you need to stop doing? Some people would just say some people are drinkers. Some of you Christian folks still out there drinking and doing your thing. Do you just need to stop? Do you need to stop drinking? Do you really need to look at your life and say, well, I need to stop drinking socially? You might go out once a month, twice a month, and get a daiquiri on the side or go somewhere and eat and drink some wine, drink. But do you need to stop those things? Prioritize some of the things in your life. Start to take control of our lives. Number five, practice saying no. As Christians, we can't allow ourselves to be physical and spiritual doormats for folk because we want to show them love. Sometimes no, because we can't do everything and be everything for everybody. Sometimes we just have to say no. The Bible says that our yes be yes and our no be no. Sometimes we have to learn to say no because, again, we can't get to the place where we think that thing can only get done if we do it, or it won't get done correctly if I don't do it. If that's you, you need to pray. You have a problem. Because everybody has a skill. Everyone has a gift. People do things differently. It's the outcomes we're looking for. So if you think that you got to do everything, you can't. If somebody asks you something, you can't tell them no. You think it won't get done? That's what's stressing you out. Because now you're taking on more obligations because you haven't finished this last stuff you promised somebody was going to do. Now you're stressed out because you don't have enough time in the day. Think about how you use your time. That goes back to that. That's the next item. Think about how you use your time. What are you spending your time on? What is your day like? What is your week like? What are your plans? Again, what is your vision? What's your plan for next week? A lot of us now, it's already 9 o'clock in the evening. what you have plans for tomorrow, but now what is your plans next week? What are you doing next weekend? What are you doing next month? What do you accomplish that you want to do? What do you want to do to remove some of the stress and change your situation in your life, and how do you get there? And how do we plan? Some things we keep talking about doing. You know, I like to use weight and we're going to lose weight, then you got to start exercising. If you want to get healthy, you know, you got health issues, you got to start eating right and eating different. That starts with you got to stop buying everything in the supermarket. Stop buying Oreos and chocolate chips and whatever, and potato chips and cheese doodles if you're trying to get healthy and feel better. You got to stop some stuff. Amen? So, again, these are some of the things we have to do. Again, I'm going to go to real quick as a quick get ready to close and close out. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here on Friday. We're here on Monday nights at 8 p.m., Thursday nights at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And this Saturday, we are going to be doing a live broadcast with Heart to Heart, an apostle at a bank show. She's going to be out of town, and she asked me to fill in and do her show. So we're going to do a simultaneous show this Saturday at 9 a.m. I'm not sure what the topic is going to be, but you can always check us out on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'll have the posted topic there, and I just encourage you to join us. I'll also be posting her number. I don't have her number here, but you can always call this number, and it's going to be the same show. I want to close with this scripture. The book of John, chapter 14, verse number 27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember, Jesus Christ has come to give us peace, and we have to go and accept that peace. And if we accept his peace, obedient to his word, live a life pleasing to him, we can overcome the stresses in our life, no matter what it is. Surrender it to God. Pray. Ask God for help. The short, I learned a long time ago, the best and quickest prayer is, God, help me. Jesus, help me. Amen. And wait and see what he does. Wait and see who he'll put in your life. Wait to see what God will do and send you a word that's going to help your situation. Because you have to know that you need him, that you can't solve it, you can't fix it. God, I need you for whatever it is. And this is how we overcome stress. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Jesus Lives and the Family, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. I want to give a shout out to Kingdom Life Church joining us and being part of a program. And again, for the brothers out there, November 2nd, down here in Glen Burnie, the men are coming together at 9:30 a.m. at the Golden Corral Buffet and Grill in Glen Burnie for breakfast and fellowship. We're going to be hanging out. And again, stand by, put it on your calendar, April 17th, 18th, and 19th. The men are going on a retreat. We're setting it up. We're going to Black Rock Retreat Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Let us pray. Father, I say thank you right now. Thank you for all those who have called in. I thank you for all those who listened online. I thank you for all those who have dialed in, oh God. I thank you for their lives today. Father, I pray for them, their children, God, their grandchildren, God. I pray for those, God, in the midst. I pray for husbands and fathers, oh God, and sons, Lord God, that are going through issues and challenges, God, that are being stressed. Today, they'll be set free, God. Father, I'm praying for mothers and wives, Lord God, what they're going through their husbands and their children, whatever their circumstances, we're praying for peace. We're praying for healing. We're praying that, God, they will seek you in all things and look for you, God, to guide their directions and guide their thoughts. Father, we ask that you continue to pray for those, you continue to touch those that are in the hospital beds today, those who are locked up in prison, God, that you speak to their hearts and their minds, that their souls might be set free and that their bodies might be healed, oh God, because you are in control. You're all-knowing, omnipresent God. You're everywhere at one time, and you know the needs of your people. So, God, we ask that you do what you do, be who you are. Continue to bless us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you. We'll see you Saturday.